This past week, I was very blessed and a bit overwhelmed that on three separate occasions, totally unrelated to each other, I was informed of something I had done long ago that had a meaningful impact in someone's life. One story was about depression and suicide. Another story was about divorce and recovery. Another story about death and loss. And these things that I had done were something that were so long ago, it was almost trying to remember what the person was saying to me that was impactful in their own experience. Something I said, something I did, has had a lasting impact in their lives over the years, something that they've reflected about and brought to my attention this very week. And I would easily imagine that every single person in this room has had those kinds of impactful moments to others. Now, likely, you have not been blessed by the person coming to you and saying, "What you did way back there a long time ago, I've been thinking about that. I thought about it through the years, and that was really helpful to me. Thank you." And so in their absence, I say for them and to you, thank you. Thank you for all those moments in your life that you were an influence in a positive way in someone else's life, even when they could not thank you. One of my stories was a youth from youth ministry. Now, I can promise you, if you work with youth, not often do they come and say, "That Bible study or that word of encouragement really meant a lot to me," but you know what happens? This is true. Years later, when you get an old man like myself, you'll say, "You know, I remember that from so long ago, and that was so powerful, so impactful, so meaningful, that that person, that word, that ministry, I have carried with my whole life." These kinds of illustrations have recalled for me distinguishing between moments in time and moments of history. Moments in time are the regular occurring parts of our day, the ordered sequence of everyday life, how one day follows another, and it's just how we live. But occasionally, within those moments of time, there becomes a moment of history where something was done that rises above the ordinariness of life and transcends it with something significant and extraordinary. It seems one of the challenges of living through these days is the failure to recognize how moments in time become the building blocks for moments of history. Moments in time honor the convenient and the expedient. Often they focus on pleasure and entertainment. They can be solely focused upon selfish pursuits and indulgences. They're not always bad, but if nothing but moments of time are our steady diet of lives, then we are feeding ourselves nothing more nutritious than junk food. And these moments in time grow beyond the personal sphere into the public sphere of life. Whether the issue is caring for our environment or medical reforms or public policy on taxation, what seems to be valued, what seems to be good, is only what is good for now, rather than what might be best for the future. Moments of history, especially those valued as a great good, when looked back upon from the judgment seat of the future and the evaluations of future years, looking back over the living of these years, well, moments of history are usually not very popular or the advocacy that is taken during a particular day is birthed with great pains. That taking this stance for something that lasts beyond our own personal daily experience and to what future generations may inherit is very risky. But shouldn't we consider the impact for all of our decisions, not merely on how it impacts me, but how it impacts the larger community and the most vulnerable and the future generations that follow us? Focusing on future generations makes us think about this important topic called legacy. What is the impact of my life beyond my life? And moments of history stand out for their courage and their inspiration. They're the kind of stories that we love to tell over and over and over again. Some of you can stand up and talk about moments of history in your own family's story. And all of you should be able to stand up and talk about moments in the history of our nation that were impactful and meaningful and helped us be a more perfect and whole people. All of Scripture is collected because of these moments of history where people in a particular place, in a particular time, under particular struggles and difficulties, found the extraordinary power of God working in them and through them and with their community, and the stories were so great, they just had to share them. And they collected them, and they remembered them, and they wrote them down, and they passed them down to future generations. And what we read today is even someone like Moses, who had his day and who died on a hill in a forgotten grave, has impact still today in our lives, in our country, and in our world. Our lives are not just this little bit of dash of birth and death dates, but indeed are a cascading ripple through epochs of history. And so we come together as the people of God, remembering that of all the folks that have had all the stories told about them, there seems to be nothing more impactful for us than those stories of Jesus. How many of His moments of time became moments of history? Things that He did, things that He said, things that He taught that have been carried through the generations and has been of great impact and inspiration to all generations that would follow. Soon we'll hear of one of these stories where the big question is brought before Jesus in a community that valued commandments and rules and regulations and how to do things in the best and proper way. Jesus is asked a question, What is the greatest commandment? And Jesus, combining the Shema of Deuteronomy 6 with a little rule in Leviticus, says to love the Lord your God with your whole being and to love your neighbor as yourself. That this instruction, this commandment from God on the lips of Jesus becomes for us our true anchor in the uncertainty of life. It is our North Star where we get the bearings for how we are to gauge our life. It is the place where we come back to again and again and again and again as we worship together, as we bind ourselves together as God's people, as we seek to listen to God and what God may say to us in this day. It's the same message. Love God with your whole being and love your neighbor as yourself. All of our lives, if reduced to these truths of love, can become moments of history. And so Christian folks over the years have learned that we must be reignited and recommitted and re-engaged with this grand calling, and have found here at this table a place for us to again live up to this charge of love. And while I normally don't use acronyms, I have one for you today with the word FIRE, F-I-R-E. In thinking about coming to this table, as you will come later in the service. The first letter, F, perhaps would be the most important and the most significant for you as you seek to live up to the calling of love. And the F stands for forgiveness. None of us measure up. All of us have made mistakes. All of us have struggles. And many of us are kept from loving because we have carried this grudge against ourselves or maybe against someone that has long passed. It's filled us with bitterness and resentment and hatred. We know it's not a part of what we want in our life or in our world, but we just can't seem to get past it. And so we come to the table, a table of forgiveness, to hear the wonderful words from Jesus, "You are forgiven." Whatever that weight that you're carrying that needs to be dropped, you are forgiven. Whatever that fear, that worry, that anxiety that you wish to get rid of and be released from, hear the words of Jesus, "You are forgiven." And here, this is a table of forgiveness. The I in the word FIRE stands for initiative. That as God has come to us and has brought this welcome to us, it also must be received. That God initiates the grace that is ours, but it is up to us to initiate the grace that is received, to hold on to, and to receive this promise that God's glory and grace is pleased to dwell in you, in your mortal flesh, in your transient life, in your momentary existence. Take initiative and know that you indeed are God's child, listening to God's calling with God's holy purpose. The R, renewal. That we all need to be renewed in this call over and over again. Now, as Baptists, we oftentimes think of the sudden transformation. The person who turns on a dime and makes a big change, and that type of transformation is very possible in a person's life, that they can see the light and, like Paul on the Damascus Road, all of a sudden go from one direction into a completely different direction. But I would imagine for many of us, if not most of us, transformation happens more like turning a dial on the stove, if you still have dials on stoves. 1 degree at a time. A degree a little bit this month, maybe another degree next month, but we're just slowly turning the dial in transformation and renewal. Now, if you're a pilot, if you're a boat captain, you know even one little degree of difference in a long journey can put you in a whole different place at the end of the road. And so we come in renewal time after time to this table, coming before God's goodness and grace, realizing at times we've fallen down and need to be picked back up, knowing sometimes we've tired and we've found ourselves not wanting to walk any further, knowing we have strayed from the path and need to get back on it, and we turn the dial one more bit until finally the E in the word FIRE is the word empowerment. We could also use the word equipped, that we become more capable, more ready, more determined, more disciplined, ready to do the good work that God has for us to do in the world, and to recognize that it's not on our own strength that we walk, but it is by the power of God's grace working through us and the empowerment of the Spirit, for the Spirit comes and touches our lives with fire. For in All Saints Day, we know this is a moment of time. May it also be a moment of history.